Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, March the 25th. Well, it's actually been a warm day around here in the Dallas area. We had a lot of rain last night. I mean, we had tons of rain last night. You would have thought that it was, Noah in the Great Ark or something, but it cleared up in the morning, and it is now actually warm and sunny here in North Texas. Well, President Biden had a press conference today, and I've got several thoughts on this because, well, I did not watch it on TV. I listened to it on the radio because I was out busy, but I had a chance to listen to 99% of it on the radio. And sometimes, actually, I get a lot more on the radio than I do on the TV, because I think on TV sometimes the images distract you. But on the radio, you're hearing what he's saying. I think that he got through the whole hour. You know, he didn't collapse or do anything like that. He wasn't always very coherent. And there's no question that, he has to look at information and, you know, they obviously gave him a lot of notes, almost like, okay, if they ask you about immigration, go here. If they ask you about this. So obviously a lot of the answers were already written for him. There was not a lot of give and take, at least I didn't hear it. But, you know, overall, he didn't collapse. He didn't melt or anything like that. So I guess he got through the hour, and, that was fine. There were two interesting things, though, today that I want to share with you. The first one is the selection of the time for the press conference. You know, pretty much since President Nixon, or as far as I can remember, and I'll go back to President Nixon, which would have been in the 1970s, pretty much since President Nixon, these press conferences are generally done in prime time, or they're generally done at night. And there's a reason for that. The president, particularly at this stage of his presidency, so early in his presidency, he's obviously looking to maximize his audience. You know, he wants to talk to as many people as he can. And a press conference is the next best thing to giving a State of the Union or a speech from the Oval Office or whatever. So generally, the presidents go for prime time. But Mr. Biden's press conference was at 1 o'clock East, 12 noon, and 10 o'clock Pacific. So what that tells me is that they didn't get much of an audience, because you're just not going to get much of an audience at that time. I mean, in the West Coast, people are working at that time or driving or whatever. Here in the Dallas area, people are working or going out to lunch or whatever. And then in the East Coast, maybe more people can watch it in the Eastern time zone. But overall, you're not going to get the same kind of audience at in the middle of the day as you're going to get at night. And that simply, this is a pattern that they've used pretty much since the campaign, and that is to limit the exposure. You put them on television or you expose them to the minimum. You don't put them out there where a lot of people can see them. You limit it to the minimum. And that's what they did here. I don't think a lot of people saw this press conference. It was actually kind of boring after a while, to be honest with you, and I was listening to it. And I was interested in listening to it. I think a lot of people probably just tuned it out. So I don't think they had a very large audience, and probably the only people who stuck with it where, honestly, either people in the media who are paid to listen to it or watch it, and people maybe like me who was interested in hearing what he had to say. But believe me, it was very difficult to stick with it. There were times when I said, oh, my gosh, you know, this guy is losing me. But I stuck with it because I wanted to hear what he had to say. Overall, he really didn't say anything new or dramatic. I thought his explanations about the border, again, blaming Trump, is completely silly. I mean, it's just silly. I mean, nobody believes that. The only people who believe that are people who are so invested in their hatred of Trump, and there's not much you can do about those people anyway. So that's about, you know, but any objective person looks at the situation in the border, and you have to conclude, hey, you changed the policy. You told the world that you were going to change the policy. Even the president of Mexico is saying that. I mean, the president of Mexico is saying, hey, you know, you told everybody you were going to be different. Well, this is what happens. The congressman, the Democrat congressman, Henry Cuellar, from South Texas, has been the president's biggest critic during all this time. So I thought his answers were pretty silly, and most of it, though, went unchallenged by the media. And that takes me to my second point. I think the biggest loser of this press conference was the American news media. And I don't say that in any delightful fashion, because I do think we need a serious press. But this was a press that was generally very friendly to him. And the questions were very politely friendly. And you just compare, I mean, please compare the behavior of the press today with any press conference for President Trump over the last 4 years. I mean, just look at the demeanor of the media, the aggressiveness, the hostility of the media. I mean, it's night and day. Now, some are going to say, yeah, but Trump would give it back to the media and would provoke fights with the media. Yeah, that's probably true. And there were many times over there during the Trump presidency when you may have heard me say or may have written my American Thinker post where I said that President Trump was making a mistake in getting into fights with people like Don Lemon and so on for the simple reason that those people didn't have an audience. I mean, why get into a fight with somebody from CNN who doesn't have much of an audience? But he did it anyway, and I always criticized President Trump for picking so many fights with people in the media that didn't have much of an audience. But he did it, and so Trump contributed to some of the hostility. I'm not going to deny that. But generally, the media was very critical and very much in your face with President Trump. That was not the case today. That was not the case today. And I thought there was some real material for the media to ask him about, particularly on the border and gasoline prices and China and all of that. And I thought overall, the media was, let's just say, friendly to him. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who picked up on that. I think a lot of Americans have picked up on this, and it doesn't do the media any good to show this kind of partiality. I really don't think it does. And because, you know, the American people don't necessarily want to see the media and the president getting into fights. But they do want to have a media that challenges the president respectfully. And we didn't see that today. And we didn't see that during the Trump years. During the Trump years, they would challenge the president, but many times they wouldn't do it in a very respectful way. So overall, I mean, I don't think President Biden, let's say, advanced his case much today. I think the people who love him, the people who voted for him, who support him, probably liked what they heard today. But I think half of the country didn't like what they heard today. And so we started this press conference deeply divided, and we end this press conference perhaps even more divided. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, talking a little bit about the press conference today. Again, I think not much of a press conference, not a lot of information, but I do think the biggest loser was the American news media because of the – I mean, it's obvious when you watch today's press conference and you compare that with any Trump press conference that there is not the same – they're not being treated the same way by these reporters. Well, the big news, I guess, out of the press conference today, not really out of the press conference, we knew this before, is that Vice President Harris is going to take over the border situation. She's going to oversee, I guess, a trip down there or the situation. Look, I understand why the president is naming the vice president. It's a typical action. When you don't really have a solution, you form a committee and, you have a meeting and you have a commission and all this kind of stuff. The reality is that Vice President Harris does not have an answer for the problems on the border, because this administration doesn't have an answer, because the only answer is to actually bring back some of the things that President Trump had done that had created stability on the border. I don't know if they can do that and keep the left of the party happy, because so much of this administration's policymaking is all based on Trump derangement syndrome. So if Trump did it, we have to destroy it. And in the case of the border, though, it was a huge mistake, because what Trump did was, in fact, working. So I don't know what exactly they're going to be able to do. I suppose that they'll debate it and analyze it and have sessions and have meetings and all this kind of stuff, but I don't think that's going to change much of anything. So until they decide to, basically say, this is the border and you're not coming in, until that happens, not much is going to change down in the U.S.-Mexico border, where things are chaotic right now, just totally chaotic. We don't have enough convention centers to put all these people. I mean, that's just basic reality. Well, President Biden, either today or yesterday, invited Megan Rapinoe to the White House. Megan Rapinoe, for those of you who follow U.S. Women's soccer, is one of the stars on the U.S. soccer team that won the World Cup or the World Tournament, I guess, last year. Very talented soccer player, and all the ladies in that team are very talented, and they deserve our congratulations. She's also a real political activist, especially when it comes to equal pay. And the agenda that she's driving is completely wrong. First of all, in the world of sports and in the world of entertainment, pay is not determined by the color of your skin or by your gender. Pay is determined by your ability to sell tickets. This is why somebody, a Major League Baseball player or NFL player or NBA player or hockey player, this is why they make the contracts that they make, because they put people in the seats. You know, when Nolan Ryan was pitching for the Texas Rangers almost 25, 30 years ago, Nolan Ryan would literally, they could see the difference. On the day that Nolan pitched, there were anywhere from 25,000 to 30,000 more people in the seats. I mean, it was amazing. It was so obvious to anybody watching it. And so that's the way it is in sports and in entertainment. If you sell tickets, you're going to make more money. If you get big TV contracts like they do in the NFL and so on, you're going to get money. So really, this whole question of equal pay for athletes and for entertainers is a bogus argument, because their pay is not determined by their gender or by their skin color. Their pay is determined by their ability to sell tickets, whether you're a movie star, whether you're a musician, or whether you're a sports athlete. So the problem with women's soccer is that people really don't follow it. I mean, the professional women's league is not really doing that well. I saw a statistic that they're averaging like 12,000 people a game. Well, that's not a lot of tickets if you want to make a lot of money. I mean, that's better than nothing, but that's not the kind of money. Those are not the kind of ticket sales that are going to generate million-dollar contracts. So Megan Rapinoe is the wrong person. She's a divisive personality. And to bring her into a White House to talk about unity, that doesn't make any sense, President Biden. No sense whatsoever. So I thought that was a very bad move there by President Biden. Well, we remember Aretha Franklin today. She was born on this day in 1942, passed away in 2016. The Queen of Soul, I think that's what they used to call her. Great musician, very talented lady, and one of the real great voices, you might say, of the last 50 years. Aretha Franklin, she was born in Memphis on this day in 1942. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.